Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
We're talking about how to be a great Christian. How to be a great Christian. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul's writing to the church, the local church. He says in verse 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are in Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. So he's writing to three classes of people, the bishops, which are the pastors of the church, the leaders of the church. So he's writing to the leaders. Say leaders. Leaders. No, some of you didn't say it. Say leaders. Leaders. Okay, he's writing to the leaders of the church, and then he's writing to the deacons. Those are the servants in the church, those who have been designated and ordained servants. So deacons are servants. Say that. Deacons are servants. One more time. Deacons are servants, okay? And then thirdly, he's writing to the saints. He's writing to the saints. Say, I am a saint. Okay, let's say that one more time. I am a saint. That's right. We're saints. Every one of us that are believers, you don't have to be dubbed one by the Catholic Church. We said this 2 weeks ago. You don't have to be dubbed that by anybody. Your wife may not think you're a saint, but you are a saint. Say, I am a saint. Let's one more time. I am a saint. Okay, we're all saints. The Bible tells us that we are saints of God. So Paul is writing this not just to the leaders of the church, not just to the deacons of the church, not just to the pastors, not just to the servants, but he's writing this to all of the saints. And he's telling them in this passage of Scripture how to be mature Christians. Look what he says in verse 10 of chapter 1. He says that you may approve things that are excellent and that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Jesus Christ. That you may approve things that are excellent means that you might be able to discern that which is right and that which is wrong. Paul said, I want you to be able to discern right and wrong as Christians. And then he says, number two, that you may be sincere and without offense. The idea is that you might be able to, that you might be a genuine Christian that doesn't offend. If we are genuine in our Christian walk, people aren't going to be offended by us and say, who do you think you are? If we are genuine in our Christian walk, we're going to walk in humility, and people are going to be drawn to the Christ that's in us. And so that's what God wants us to be, sincere and without offense. These are the marks of a mature Christian. And then he says in verse 11, being filled with fruit, with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus unto the glory and praise of God. When you got saved, the Spirit of God came to live inside of you, so Jesus Christ came to live inside of you. So if he's living inside of you, he should be bearing fruit out of you. So there should be the fruits of righteousness. That is, that you're going to do the right thing. You're going to do the right things not because you're a good guy. You're not going to do the right things because you just are perfect, Tony. That's not it. You're going to do the right things because he's in you doing the right things out of you. And that is what Paul is saying to the Philippians here. I want you to be mature in the Lord. In fact, in chapter 3 and verse 15, he says this. He says, let us, therefore, as many as be perfect. That word perfect, you can circle this. If you use your Bible, you can circle this or just write it in your notes that I've given to you. He says that you may be perfect. The word perfect means mature. Say that with me. Perfect means mature. One more time. Perfect means mature. So he's saying, I want you to be the mature Christian that you might... He says, let us therefore, as many as are mature, be thus minded. Think this way. And if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this to you. So the idea of perfect being mature, Paul is writing to these believers, to the leaders, to the servants, and to the saints, all the people that are in the church. He's saying, look, all of us should be mature believers. And there's certain things that if you'll do in your life, you'll be the mature believer. It doesn't mean that problems aren't going to come in your life. Problems come in this world. There are trials. There are problems. There's going to be physical mishaps. You're going to fall down. There's going to be problems that you have from time to time. That's just going to happen. Job said it this way, man is few days and full of trials. Job also said, man is born under trouble as the sparks fly upward. If you've ever been in a campfire, you throw something in a campfire, the sparks, they just naturally fly upward. He said, just as naturally as sparks fly upward, we're going to have problems in this world. Now, here's the deal. Your problems, Roger, aren't going to be the same as my problems. You're going to have one set of problems. Wanda has a whole different set of problems than I do. She's married to you. She's got all sorts of problems, all right? She's got problems, and her problems are going to be different than my problems. You see, we all face different things. Some people have a physical problem. Some people have a family problem. Some people have a history in their life, genetic problem that they have to deal with. Every one of us have got different problems, and some people it's physical, some it's mental, some it's spiritual, some it's financial, and what we think, hey, I'd like to trade my problems for somebody else's problems. Boy, I'd like to trade what I have for this person over here, because if this person over here, this is money problems, but he's got money to have problems with. I'd like to trade with him, but you don't understand. You don't understand. It's not the problems you face. It's how you face the problems. You understand? It's not the problems you face. It's how you face the problems. And Paul is telling us, look, you need to understand that you can be a mature Christian and you can overcome no matter what the circumstances you find yourself in. So he tells us, he gives us some things that we need to do. And we looked at that last week. We said, number one, we need to refuse to fuss with other believers. Look in this was 2 weeks ago. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. The devil will do everything he can to get Christians fussing with each other. But if you're going to be a mature Christian, if you're going to be a successful Christian, if you're going to be a great Christian, you're just going to refuse to fuss. You don't need to answer your critics. You don't have to get back at them when they get back at me. Well, you know, I don't get mad, I get even. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. You don't have to get mad or you don't have to get even. You can understand that God's in control. And if somebody's mean to you, then God allowed them to be mean to him. You know, David was walking. David hadn't done anything wrong. Well, he did as much wrong as you and I do. But his son, Absalom, rebelled against him and led a rebellion in the kingdom. And David, now listen to this, listen. David, King David, is leaving the kingdom. He's fleeing with the people that are loyal to him. They're leaving the kingdom. He's got his wives and his kids. Yeah, he did something wrong. He had wives to take with him instead of just a wife. And so he's leaving. He's fleeing for his life. He's got his captain, Joab, with him. As they're fleeing, a guy named Shimei stands up. Shimei was a friend and a relative of Saul. And David had taken over after Saul had been killed. Shimei stands up and says, you deserve everything you're getting, David. This is what you did to Saul. And he starts cursing David. Well, Joab's there. And Joab said, you want me to go kill him? I'll take his head off and bring it to you. I'll be happy to do that. You know what I'd have said? Go get it, because I'm sick of his lip. In fact, don't bring me his head, because I don't want to see his face. And so, I mean, that would be my attitude. You say, well, that wouldn't be my attitude. That's because you're more spiritual than I am. But the fact is, David said this. This is what David said. Shimei said, I'll go kill him if you want me to. David said, don't. God put it in his mouth to curse me right now. God put it in his mouth to curse me right now. God did. Why would God do that? Because God wants to develop something in our lives. God wants to develop things in our life. So he brings mean people into your life. And he brings nice people into your life every once in a while. And then he brings more mean people into your life. And they say mean things to you so that you learn how to react. God doesn't want you to allow other people to cause you to do wrong things. God doesn't want you to be controlled by outward circumstances. God doesn't want you to be controlled by your boss or by... God wants you to be controlled by his spirit. And so Paul says, look, just refuse to fight with other believers. I just refuse to. Look, there are people who don't like me because they like a certain kind of music. There are people who don't like me because I preach against certain things. There are people who don't like me because they're just jealous. What a face. You know, there's people, I don't know why people don't like me, but there are people that don't like me for different reasons. They just don't like me. Doesn't mean I don't have to like them. Doesn't mean that I have to be mean to them. Somebody's unkind to me, I do not have to be unkind to them. We need to refuse to get upset with other believers. I refuse to let somebody else control my actions. You can do that. You can do that. You can say, I don't care. Somebody slams the, you go out door knocking. Now, by the way, this week is Family Outreach Saturday again. I hope you'll be here for it. It's going to be great. Family Outreach Saturday, we're going to have continental breakfast, and then we're going to go out and tell people about Christ. And we've got like 70,000 flyers or 30,000 flyers that we need to have bundled for those of you who are going to help us with that. We've got some things for the mail committee to do. So if you can come and help us, it'll be a tremendous help this Saturday starting at 9:15. But some of you've gone out door knocking and you have the door slammed in your face. Look, don't get upset. That person's going to hell. That person's going to hell. Man, that's a horrible thing. I don't have to get upset about that. I should feel compassion for them. They're going to hell. I do not need to allow the devil to use somebody to get me to focus on other believers. It's amazing that Christians will fight with Christians. I don't have time to fight with Christians. There are people out in this world that are terrible. I mean, we got all sorts of wickedness going on in this world. We got the promotion of homosexuality, the promotion of immorality. We have people that hate God, and I'm going to fight somebody who loves God and does things a little different than me? I don't think so. I haven't got time for that. I haven't got time to fight anybody. God can be the judge. So, number one, refuse to fuss with other believers. Number two, he says, again in the same verse, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. That is refuse pride. I'm refusing, because you can get lifted up. Somebody comes up and says to you enough, you're just really a good guy. Man, I just think you're you're just great. Neil Berkey and I were out door knocking one day, opened the door, and our lady opened the door, and she said, boy, God sent a couple of handsome men by my way. I said, yeah, now let's talk about Jesus. Now, the fact of the matter is people will compliment you. They'll say wonderful things about you. And nice things about you. You can get lifted up in pride. You can actually believe it. You start believing what people say about you, and it'll depress you. If they say the wrong thing, it'll depress you. If they say things that lift you up, you need to be careful about that. We're not supposed to do things so people will say you're a good guy or a great lady. We're not supposed to. Now, is there anything wrong with saying, hey, somebody's a great guy? I love James Parker. I really do. He's always encouraging, always smiling. His kids are wonderful. His wife loves him, and heaven knows why. But he just is a nice guy. He really is. Guy wrote a book about the second coming of Christ. He's smart. There's nothing wrong with me telling him how great a guy he is. The problem is he can't believe that. He's got to understand that he's a sinner just like I am and that we all deserve to go to hell. That's reality. That's reality. People will pump us up, and we got to say, look, anything that happens good in my life happens because of what God did. And so we need to refuse pride. Now, I've spent enough time reviewing those two things. Let's go. The Bible says, by the way, in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10, it says, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. You know why you fight with your husband? Do you know why you fight with your wife? Do you know why you demand what you demand? Do you know why you get upset when you don't get the respect that you want? It's because of your pride. The Bible says the contention that's in your heart comes because of your pride. You say, I don't believe that. Well, then argue with God, because he said only by pride cometh contention. So next time you get upset about something, just understand it's because of your pride. And that's why you're fighting with somebody. When you're looking at somebody and fighting with them, it's because of your pride. We just need to understand that all we deserve is hell. And if we're breathing and if it's anything above hell temperature, then we're not getting what we deserve. So, say amen to that. Okay, now number three. Philippians 2 and verse 4. Let's read what it says. It says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That is, don't let pride control you, but live to build others up. Live to build others up. The idea is you need to understand that God puts you here to be an encouragement to other people. In fact, the Bible tells us in Hebrews not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Even in the time of the New Testament, there were people who said, I don't need to go to church. I don't need to go to church. I got everything I need. I don't need to go to church. You ever hear that from anybody? If you've ever heard anybody say that, say amen. Okay, we hear people say that all the time. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to go to church. Even in the New Testament times, he said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. But he said, encourage one another, exhort one another unto love and to good works. The Bible tells us we need to get together. We need to encourage one another. You need my encouragement and I need your encouragement. I need to know that somebody cares about me. I need to have somebody come up and tell me. And if I'm doing something wrong, I need somebody to share with me in love. So we need that. We're to build one another up. So we need that encouragement. I don't know how many times I've had people just come up to me and say, Pastor, thank you for what you said tonight. It just really encouraged me. Well, I've told our staff, the thing that I want when people walk into this church, I want them to do two things. I want them to leave here feeling like they learned something from the Word of God that will be beneficial to their life. And number two, I want them to feel like they've been encouraged and lifted up. I want them to feel like, hey, man, I can go on and I can keep on doing. That's what coming to church is all about. Getting the encouragement from the Word of God. That's why we sing the songs that we sing. That's why we do the uplifting things that we do, because we want to be an encouragement to live. We ought to live to build up other people. You as a husband ought to live to build up your wife. You as a wife ought to live to build up your husband. Find out what your husband likes and do what you're, just think about, what can I do tonight to encourage my husband? What can I do tonight to encourage my wife? What can I do tonight to encourage my children? What can I do tonight to encourage my grandchildren? What can I do tonight to encourage my neighbors? We're to build one another up. And Christians, great Christians, do that. They're not living for their own self. They're living to build up others. Paul said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Don't fuss with people. He says, be lowly in your mind. Don't get lifted up in pride. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Then he says this. He says, have a servant's heart. Have a servant's heart. Number four. Look what it says in verses 5-8. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So, in other words, he says, think the way Jesus thinks. Let this mind be in you. What do you do with your mind, Ron? What do you do with your mind? You meditate on the Word. Okay, I'm just looking for a simple word. What do you do with your mind? You think. You think. That's what you're supposed to do with your mind, not daydream. You're supposed to think. So he says, look, let this mind, let this thinking be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Think the way Jesus thought. Who, being in the form of God, he was God in human flesh. He was God before he was God before he came into this human flesh. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. It wasn't something he grasped at. He wasn't working at becoming like God. He is God. But he made himself of no reputation. He didn't think about himself. He took upon him the form of a servant. I hope these people know who I am. Well, I hope you know who I am. Well, nobody talks to me that way. Don't you know who I am? Yeah, you're a hell-bent sinner. That's who you are. But that wasn't Jesus. Jesus was in the form of God. It wasn't something he grasped at to be equal with God, but he didn't care about his reputation. He didn't come to impress you with the fact of his riches. He took upon himself the form of a servant. And the Bible says, and he was made like unto men. He was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Imagine that. I mean, we read the story of Jesus bowing down and washing Peter's feet, and we think, oh, come on. Well, we know the story. Peter says, don't rebuke the Lord, but you would do the same thing. If I came down and said, here, sir, let me take your shoes off your feet. Doesn't this feel a little weird? I mean, let me take your shoes off your feet here. Let me help you. You're pulling back. Let me take your shoes off your feet. If I said, let me massage your toes for a little while, you'd think I was a little strange. All right? Jesus was taking the position of a servant. He said, let me serve you. And Peter said, no, no. It's interesting, though, God said that the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is the servant of all. And that when we get to heaven, the proof, here's the proof of the pudding. When we get to heaven, we're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the Bible says the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus, is going to serve the bride. That's you, Adam. That's you, Debbie. He's going to serve you, Marianne. That is absolutely amazing. That's what we're going to put up with. You know, and the thing is, we're not going to have any pride there. And we're going to understand that we've got the roles all reversed. Because we think the guy that's doing the foot washing, we think he's the servant. We think he's the down. And God makes it clear. No. God makes it clear. We need to have a servant's heart. He is the servant. And the greatest thing in heaven you can do is serve. That's why the greatest. Why is it that mothers are always lifted up in the home? Because mothers are servants. Mothers change diapers. Daddies sleep. Mothers nurse babies. Daddies sleep. You say, not me, I was a good one. That's your pride. Get out of here, man. She serves and she serves and she serves. And so she's exalted. Mother's Day, she gets all sorts of good stuff. And on Father's Day, you get your child's used coloring book. And here it is, Dad, I got that for you. You know, whatever. We have to have a servant's heart. We got to have a servant's heart in the family. You need to understand, if you're going to be the head of the home, mister, look, listen to me. If you're going to be the head of the home, you're the head servant in the home. You're the head servant in the home. Well, I thought my wife's supposed to be submissive. You know how your wife is to learn submission? By you submitting to God and serving her. And she says, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do. You know, the kids learn service? They watch Dad. Oh, no, let's go to the next subject. No, let's stay here for a while. Amen, ladies? So the fact of the matter is, we're supposed to be servants. The head servant in the home is the father. The one who reflects servanthood is the mother. And we're supposed to have that servant's heart. You say, are you good at this? No, Pastor. No, I'm not. This pastor is not good at this. I am selfish and self-centered. I've told you that before. When I go home, I want served. Wherever I go, I want served. When I sit down at the restaurant and they bring me the wrong thing, I tell them this is wrong. My wife, on the other hand, says, it's okay, honey. It's okay, honey. I say, then this is what she does. When she doesn't want me to say anything, she pinches me. It's not right. Early in my marriage, I had claw marks in my arm. It's not right. But because she doesn't want to do anything to be aggressive, and she actually doesn't want them to mess up her food. The lady's complaining. Look, let's do this. Inject some stuff in there. She won't complain. Anyway, the point is, we're to be servants. Look, a great Christian lives to build up others and has a servant's heart. And that ought to be true everywhere you go, at work. People ought to say, wow, that guy's the greatest servant. And may not say it that way. Wow, he's the greatest employee. Man, you can rely on him. You become valuable when you are a servant. And that's even true in our wicked, vile culture. You need to understand, Joseph was in a pagan culture. And because he served, he got elevated. Because Daniel served, he got elevated in a pagan culture. And in our pagan culture, you serve with a heart not looking to be exalted, and God will exalt you in due time. That's true in every area. That's true in the military. That's true everywhere you go. So live to build up others, but it should especially be true in the church. Number one, refuse to fuss with other believers. Just refuse to. Please do. Number two, refuse to have pride. For years I was a Star Trek fan. I loved Star Trek, and I used to watch it all the time. But it's a pagan, vile, wicked. It is a humanistic show. It's got all sorts of garbage on it. I loved it anyway. So there was an episode where the Klingons were insulting the Klingons. This was the old episodes when Klingons looked like they were humans. Do you remember those? How many of you were alive during those times? The rest of you, some of you are lying, but some of you weren't. But anyway, they looked like humans, and the Klingons looked alike, and there was this people disguised these Klingons were insulting the crew. They insulted the crew, and they all sat there very quietly. And then they started insulting the captain, and they said, "Your captain is nothing," and just called him whatever, and just downed him. And they, in fact, I remember Scotty said, "Boys, sit down." Then they insulted the Enterprise, and then Scotty got up and got mad. He didn't care about what they said about anybody else, but the Enterprise, and I have no idea what that has to do with this, but later on, Kirk got really upset that they were willing to fight for the name of the Enterprise, but they didn't fight for him. We need to have a servant's heart. Number five, refuse, listen to this. Let me read this in verse 14 so you understand it. It says in verse 14, do all things without murmuring. Say the word murmuring with me. Murmuring. Say it like this. Murmuring. Isn't it a disgusting word? It's a disgusting action as well. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. Wow. I put just refuse to complain about anything. I'm just not going to complain. I will not complain. I told our summer missionaries at the beginning of the year. I don't know if I did that this year. Did I do this year? I've in years past, I've said, okay, let's all say the word hot. Hot. We all say hot. We get it all out. I said, yeah, get it out, because I don't want to hear it the rest of the summer. You're going to know it's hot. I'm going to know it's hot. We don't need to say hot. We just don't need to say it. It's just it'll be that way. We don't need to complain about it. Man, it's just that horrible thing. Do you know that God hates complaining? He says so. In Numbers chapter 11, the Bible says the people complained, and so God punished them. He hated their complaining. Complain, complain. Look, I want you to know this. This is the honest to goodness truth. If you have air conditioning, you have nothing to complain about. Pastor Matt went down to Honduras. He said there was no place in the world ever hotter than Honduras. I think there probably is. There probably is. It's hot. When it's hot, when it's 110, it's bad. When it's 110 and humid, that's hot. It's hot. 110 is hot. But look, we're sitting in padded chairs. You live in America, and I don't care what the Republicans or the Democrats say. You live in America. Say amen to that. Amen. You are 6% of the world's population. 6%. You are in the top 6% because you live in this country. You eat well, and there's evidence all around here that you eat well. You sleep at night. You get the air conditioning. You say, I have to put it at 78. Who cares? It's 78. When it's 100 outside and you get 78, say, thank God. We have nothing to complain. I refuse to complain. I refuse to complain. Sometimes I get out of bed. I've said this before. I get out of bed and my body hurts because I'm 61 years old. I think I'm 24, but I get out of bed in the morning, and this is what my body does in the morning. My body, first of all, when I lay in bed, my eyes open up. my body says, stay here. Stay. Don't get up. And I think, no, I'm going to get up. And then I do this, and my body says, okay, this is what it's going to feel like. And my leg hurts. Oh, and I go, oh. And then going from this position to this position, off of the soft onto the hard, your body, you just go, oh, oh. I get in a car. I used to get in a car and drive 16 hours, and it didn't bother me a bit. I get in a car for 4 hours. I drove down to California, and I came back 4 hours. Only 4 hours. I got out, and I thought, I'm going to stay in the car. I'm not going to get up. I'm driving from Lancaster to here. 4 hours to get out of the car. My body said, oh, oh. It was stuck in the position, you know. And you just want to complain. Oh, 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 it's so hot. Oh, I'm so tired. Oh, you don't know. Oh, it's just not right. Oh, Jesus, please come. Deliver my soul. Oh. You know, you feel that way. You really do. The fact of the matter is, I just say, Lord, and my wife will tell you this. I get out of bed and I start saying, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I am going to thank the Lord. When I get out of bed, my feet touch carpet. That's amazing. That's amazing. I get to put my toes in carpet. I get to walk to a shower. I can put on hot water or cold water. That's amazing. I can turn on a faucet. And out of my Las Vegas Valley water, I could drink 99.something% pure water. I don't drink that stuff because I'm concerned about the other. I get the bottled water. I can go to my sparkless water. I can brush my teeth and not be afraid I'm going to get some amoeba. Can you say amen to that? And I tell our staff, what you say makes your day. Say that with me. What you say makes your day. Say it one more time. What you say makes your day. You get up and you start with this. Oh, oh, I'm so tired. Oh, oh, yeah. Oh, it's so terrible. Oh, you know, why does the sun have to get up? When you start complaining, it just affects you all day long. But if you say, no, I refuse to do that, I'm going to sing. I lay there in that bed and I say, Lord, fill me with your spirit. And he answers that prayer because Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children. See, what he's saying is you are evil. You're evil. Adam, you're evil. And if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Okay, Lord, I've been laying here in bed all night. I need you to fill me with your spirit, so I'll get up and be good. And so he gives you the spirit. Then you have to obey the spirit. Okay, I'm not going to complain. I'm going to get up. I'm going to say, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the privilege of being up. Thank you for this. Thank you for what I'm going to do and the fact that I can walk, that I can, everything that I get to do. Because, listen, I heard a message years ago called 9 out of 10 isn't bad. What we have is 9 good things and 1 bad thing, and we focus on the bad. I'm not going to do that. Just not going to do that. What if I have 6 bad things? Then focus on the 4 good. You say, is this just like Pollyanna? No, this is just what the Bible says. Refuse to complain about anything. Do everything without murmuring. 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 They don't like me. They don't treat me. They don't like me. They don't have, how come I have to? How do we? All that. And then without disputing. I'm not going to argue with people. I'm not going to fuss with you. My wife will tell you, he refuses to fight. I just will not fight with you. I'm not going to fight with you. You come to me and tell me something, and I'm just going to say, I'm going to try my best to understand what you have to say, but I am not going to fight with you. And if you're wrong, then I'm going to let you be wrong. I found a long time ago that unasked for advice is never heeded. Most asked for advice is seldom heeded. But unasked for advice is never heeded. I'm not going to do anything. Refuse to complain about anything. He says, do all things without murmuring and disputing. I'm not going to fuss with you. Again, we're talking about how to be a great Christian. So let's continue on. He says in chapter 3 and verse 1, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." Now, he's talked about all the negative things that you shouldn't do. Now he tells you what to do. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it's safe." This isn't grievous for me to write this to you. I'm sitting down here in the Mamertine prison. I got rats all around me. It's dark. It's not grievous for me to write this to you, but it's necessary for you. You need to find something to be happy about. Find something to be happy about. You know, if everything's going bad, I've told you about doing the rototillering out in my wife's garden. She wanted to do a garden. We did this garden. I got the rototiller and did the whole thing. And anytime I'm in real, real bad shape, I don't know if I told this to you or not, but whenever something's really going bad, I always think of John McCain. I think of John McCain because John McCain was put in a box with broken ribs and a broken foot. I don't care what you think about John McCain politically. The fact of the matter is he suffered for serving our country. They put him in a box this big. He had a broken rib, broken arm. I can't remember what else was broken. And they kept him in a box like this, sweating. And he stayed there in pain, would not fix him for months. I think it was 6 months. I read that and I thought, that's what I'm going to think about every time I'm going to complain about anything. Anytime I think I'm having it bad, I'm going to think about John McCain in that box. It really helps. I rototillered all day long, and I wasn't saying anything because I'm really upset, I don't say anything. I just get quiet and just do what I'm supposed to do. So I got finished with it, and my wife said, "Yeah, that was just great." She said, "How do you feel?" I said, "Honey, I'm not John McCain." And she said, "Oh, it was that bad." It was really that bad. I said, I'm thankful I'm not John McCain. Listen, there's something that you can find to be happy about. You can praise God daily. You're going to heaven. You can thank the Lord every single day. And I want you to understand, if people say it's hot as hell, no, it is not. No, it is not. There's no even describing what hell is like. Bible says it's a place of pitch black darkness. It's a place of eternal fire. Scientists for years laughed about that. How can you have fire in hell? Until they really began to examine the sun in the 1950s, and then they found out that there was a flame on the sun that is pitch black. And they said the degrees of that flame are immeasurable. They can't even determine how hot it is. The Bible tells us that hell is a lake of fire. I don't have to go there. I don't have to go there. Next time you're walking down the street and you're thinking, hey, it's hot, just say, thank you, Jesus. I'm not going to hell. I'm not going to hell. I was the other day walking around the Gulch Sec with Charlotte and I said, Charlotte, we were holding hands, and I said, Charlotte, isn't this a wonderful day? It was early. I think it was only like 98, 99. And I'm walking over this past Saturday, and I walked over, and she said, I said, you know what, let's think about the people in Antarctica. They're freezing right now, and their fingertips are frozen off. There's some guy right now with frostbite. They're frostbite. That's terrible, and his hands are turning blue, and he doesn't know whether he's going to live. Isn't it terrible? It's cold. It's freezing. Doesn't the warm feel good? She's laughing at me as we're walking. But the fact of the matter is, you can find something to be thankful for. You can find something to rejoice over. I love it. My wife's got pictures, 8,000 pictures of our grandkids. I can just flip through there and just start laughing. My grandkids do some crazy stuff because of their parents. And they act like their parents. Yeah, and I can just laugh at my grandkids and laugh at them and laugh at them and laugh at them and have fun and look at them. Look, there's always something to rejoice over. Find something. Praise the Lord daily. Sing to the Lord every single day. Man, it'll change. It changes things. It just changes things when you sing to Him. So rejoice in the Lord, he says. And then look at verse, look at the next verse, verse 2. He says, beware of dogs. Rejoice in the Lord and then beware of dogs. What's he saying? Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Those were the people that were criticizing him because he believed in salvation by grace through faith. You need to understand that there will always be critics. There will always be critics. Oh, one of these days I'd like to do something and not get criticized for it. Forget it. When you get to heaven, it'll be okay. There will always be critics. Don't let critics dissuade you from doing what's right. We are not perfect. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. You're going to do things wrong. By the way, that's why it's so important that you not listen to whisperers. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs that a whisperer separates the chiefest of friends. Ron, Brother Ron, you and I can be best friends. And somebody comes along and says, you know what Dave Dice said? You know what Dave said? You know, he said, you know, he talks about it. And you know what, he really, and then you say, really? Really? I don't think he really likes you. I really don't think he likes you. He talks about you a lot, but he doesn't really like you. And then they're whispering. And all of a sudden, you start believing it. Well, maybe you don't believe it, you doubt it, but you're thinking, and then the next time I do something that just sort of lends to make you think that maybe that's true, the whisperer says, see? See? Remember this. Matt, this is really important. That the Bible says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And if somebody comes to you accusing another brother about you, accusing another brother to you, you need to understand that's a whisperer and you're listening to Satan because he's the one that accused the brethren. We don't need to do that. We don't need to do that. We're not perfect. There will always be critics, so just stay away from the critics. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter, I think it's Proverbs chapter 4, he says, put away the froward lips, the perverse lips. Don't be listening to junk. I don't need anybody to tell me how bad Pastor Shore is. I know him better than you. He doesn't need anybody telling you how bad I am. He knows me better than any other person in this church besides my family. He doesn't need you. We have critics in this world, and you're not going to get away from that. Just refuse to listen to the critics. He says, beware of dogs. Beware. That's a good word. Beware of dogs. Isn't it interesting that God calls the critics dogs? He doesn't say a whole lot of good things about dogs. Number 8, forget the past. Forget the past. Philippians 3:13 says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He said, I don't think I've gotten to where I should be, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. You want to be a great Christian? Forget the past. Forget past victories.
Well, you know what I used to do? I used to be, and I used to, and that is what I used to do, and I used to tell people about Jesus all the time. I used to be serving. I used to go to Awana. I used to memorize Bible verses. I used to. Hey, God doesn't care what you used to do. God's interested in what you're going to do now. You're alive right now. You're breathing right now. Don't live in the past. You've got something to do right now. Kenny, how old are you? You're 28 years old. So if you live to be 70, you've got like 42 years left. And if you live to be 75, you got 47 years left. You've got a lot to do. But maybe somebody treated you bad in the past. Or maybe somebody didn't treat you real good. Or maybe you didn't have the benefits that everybody else had. And you could say, how come they got to me? Hey, you've got at least, if you live that long, you've got at least 42 years. But you don't even know if you have that. But you have today. Wow. I know people who have lived their lives thinking about the fact that their dad died, or that they lost a wife, or that they lost a child, or they had a bad situation financially, or their business went under, and they lived the rest of their life. Even if you've only got 5 years left, you have 5 years. Wow.
You know how much you can do in 5 years? You can do a whole lot more than pout.
Man, do something. Don't live in past victories. Wow, I used to do it. I used to do. No. Thank God for those. There's nothing wrong. I can be very nostalgic and go back and think, wow, that was great, and that was great, and that was great. I don't want to do that. Listen, this past week, we had a wonderful week. And I don't think it's the end of it. I think our missions conference was phenomenal. But I want to go on to what we're doing next. And I just am always looking for the next thing. Past victories, past defeats. Look, remember this. Today is a new day. Start today. Start today. Somebody said once, one secret of getting ahead is getting started. You got to get started. You got to say, okay, what am I going to do? So a doctor says, you only got 6 months to live. Well, then I'm going to have a good time for the next 6 months. I'm going to tell as many people as I can about Jesus for the next 6 months. Wow. Hey, somebody came to Isaac and said, Isaac, you're getting old. Your eyes are going blind. You can't see much. And Isaac said, I'm about to die. So he brought his two sons in, Jacob and Esau. Or he brought in his one son. He brought in Esau. And he said, now listen, this is what Isaac did. He said, come here, son. Go out and kill me a deer. Kill me a deer. Remember the times we used to hunt together? I can't go because I can't see. Go out and kill me a deer and bring it to me and cook it. And then I'm going to bless you before I die. So he goes out and his brother Jacob comes in. I'm going to tell some of this story Sunday morning. He comes in, he deceives him, and his dad gets all upset about that. Anyway, Isaac is convinced he's going to die. That's why he's going to bless his son. So he winds up blessing Jacob instead. Now listen, Jacob leaves because Esau's going to kill him for stealing his blessing. He runs, and he's gone for 20 years. Listen to this. He's gone for 20 years. How long is he gone? 20 years. He's gone for 20 years. He's gone 20 years. And when he comes back, his mother, Rebecca, is dead. But you know who's still alive? Isaac. He's still alive. And you know what he's been doing the last 20 years? I'm going to die any moment now. He ruined 20 years, Bill, of his life. 20 years! He could have been doing something, but you don't understand. I got a sore foot. I don't care. Hobble for the next 20 years. But do something. You don't understand. I get tired every day. They get tired and do something for the next 20 years. But you've got 20 years, Isaac. You got 20 years. Well, I don't know. You know, they say you're only going to live to be 70. Maybe the average American is 76 years old. That means I only got 16 more years. I'm going to live every minute of them that I can. Well, I only got 16. I'm 62. 14. I'm depressed. It's so sad what people do to themselves. Start living today. Man, can you imagine if somebody was on their deathbed, they were going to die tomorrow, and they made it, and the doctor said, you've got 5 more good years. You know how happy that person would be? Because he got 5 more good years. Now, at the end of 5 years, he'd be a little depressed, but if he knew he had 5 good years, wow. We need to just be thankful for what we have instead of complaining about what we don't have, and I've already said that. So forget the past. Start today. Number 9, set spiritual goals. Set spiritual goals. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14 says, I press towards the mark of the prize of the call, high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You want to be a great Christian? Set spiritual goals. Say, I'm going to do these certain things. I'm going to live this certain way. I'm gonna pray. Set a prayer time every day. Set a prayer time every day. I know every morning I'm going to get up and pray. Just say I'm going to do that. Set a Bible reading time or an amount of Bible. I'm going to read a chapter every day. I'm going to read 5 verses every day. I'm going to study. I was talking to a good friend of mine, great Bible teacher, well-known all over the country, and I said to him, you know what I try to do? I try to read through the Bible 4 times in a year. He says, I've never, and this is a great, great Bible teacher, much more knowledgeable in the Bible than I am. He said, I never do that. He said, I like to take a passage of Scripture and sit down for an hour or two and just dissect it piece by piece by piece. Well, you know what? That's the difference between him and me. He's like an in-depth student, of, you know. And I just like to, I listen and I let it come through my mind and just sort of wash me and listen to it. And I get bits and pieces. That's the way I learn. He learns differently than me. So it doesn't matter how you read the Bible, but read it. Get in it every single day. Don't feel guilty because, man, I didn't do. Get in the Bible every day. Read the Bible. And then set some service goals. You ought to be asking yourself, where can I serve? Let's say that together. Where can I serve? It's not a matter of can I, but where can I serve? There's all sorts of places to serve here at Liberty Baptist Church. You ought to say, where can I serve? What can I do? Paul said, I'm pressing towards the mark. Paul wasn't saying, well, you know, I'm old, I'm in prison, probably not going to get out of here, I'm going to die. He said, no, I'm pressing towards the mark. I've got goals. Paul was looking forward to the time that he was going to get out and do some more preaching. He was always there. John on the Isle of Patmos was saying, hey, God's told me I'm getting off this planet. I'm going to be preaching off this island, and I'm going to preach again. Wow, that's where we ought to be. So set some spiritual goals. Ask yourself, where can I serve? Well, I got four more points, and then we'll be finished, and that will be 2 weeks from now. So let's pray and ask God to bless what we've learned. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray you'll help us to take these truths and help us to live it. Father, thank you that you gave the Apostle Paul the wisdom to write Philippians, and your Holy Spirit wrote this for us. And I pray you'll help us to take it and live it, and I ask this in Jesus' name.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.